This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague and co-host Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone Newsweek and The Hill. We begin with news from Tokyo. U.S. President Joe Biden unveils the Indo-Pacific Economic Framework, with 12 nations joining the United States in a trade initiative meant to respond to China's growing regional influence. Gordon, is this good news to construct this new framework? Does this move the story of dealing with China's predation? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. It is good news in the sense it shows that the Biden administration is re-engaging in Asia and it's trying to use trade to do so. But the problem with the economic framework, as it's been announced, has no provisions on market access. And so, therefore, this could very well be just insubstantial in the long run, because really what countries need and want are more trade, and this agreement doesn't do that.
I circle South Korea, and we go immediately to our colleague David Maxwell of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, because the president's trip has included the new president of South Korea, Mr. Yoon, and the alliance between the U.S. and South Korea. David, there's been a profound change in the weather in South Korea following this election. Does South Korea welcome the Indo-Pacific Economic Framework? And what else is Mr. Yoon looking to change about his future? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Yes, I think after a very successful summit for both President Yoon and President Biden, President Yoon is very interested in engaging with like-minded democracies in the region and around the world. And he stated even before the summit that he wanted to be an inaugural member of this new economic framework. And so I think that's very positive for the alliance and a positive step forward. In addition, he really strongly emphasized the need for the rules-based international order, which, again, aligns with U.S. interests and the interests of other countries that are joining this framework. And, of course, what Gordon said, I think, is very important, that this doesn't include market access, which, you know, frankly, is still a residual problem from the greatest strategic error we made in the 21st century, which was withdrawal from TTP. If we had stayed in the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, I think we would be working on that market access. However, I think this is a good step forward, good for South Korea, good for the United States, and good for the region and those like-minded countries who want to ensure the rules-based international order functions well for all.
Gordon, you have a question for our colleague, David.
Dave, Yoon Suk-yeol was elected president primarily for domestic reasons, as are most elections in South Korea. What do you think the South Korean people think about his various declarations during the Biden visit?
I think that it's going to be generally well received. I mean, the protests that took place were very small. The peace protests, about 100 protesters outside of the new presidential building. And so I think it's very well received. A couple things that I think we should really take away from this is in President Yoon's post-summit interview, he said that there's going to be no more appeasement of North Korea. And this really, I think, illustrates that now South Korea and the United States are aligned about the assumptions of the Kim family regime, the nature of the regime, its objectives, and its strategy, which is an execution of a hostile policy towards South Korea and the United States. So I think we're very aligned on those security issues. And then, of course, I think the investment announcements of investments in the United States by Hyundai and batteries, by Samsung and chips are really welcome in the United States, but also a great economic benefit for South Korea and its companies.
David, South Korea is an ally of the United States, but it's impossible to ignore North Korea when talking about it. So forgive me for changing the subject from something positive to the bad acting in North Korea. In these last weeks, there's been speculation about North Korea staging either a ballistic missile test or a nuclear weapon test during these conversations in Seoul or Tokyo. I do not believe that has happened. Do we have any additional concerns about North Korea bad acting, the usual provocation. There was even the suggestion that North Korea and Beijing in some fashion are working in tandem. Can we measure that right now?
I think it's difficult to measure. We continue to assess it. And of course, I think it remains very likely that Kim Jong-un will conduct some kind of provocation. Although I think that the administration's effort to call them out before the summit and to provide those assessments that it's possible, that may have undercut Kim Jong-un's decision-making, because it really reduced the surprise effect if he in fact did conduct a provocation, and it undercut it, Kim Jong-un's ability to achieve the effects that he would want by doing that. But I think it's still very likely it's possible. But I think also we have to look at it in the context, the total context of what is going on with COVID, the announcement that they have a COVID outbreak. But I think when you look at all of the missile test launches, the preparations for a nuclear test, and the announcement of COVID, I think this is really Kim Jong-un's maximum pressure campaign to try to force South Korea, the United States, and the international community to give Kim Jong-un the one thing he wants, sanctions relief. And so I think we still have to be concerned with that, because that's what he is trying to achieve in the short term. And as I said, the alignment on nature, objectives, and strategy of the Kim family regime is, in the long term, Kim still wants to dominate the Korean Peninsula. And I think Yoon and Biden are committed, strongly committed to the defense of South Korea and to counter North Korean actions.
Gordon, checking on China working with North Korea, or in some way their ambitions aligning, has there been any change in your opinion of Beijing during this retreat of the economy, the collapse of comity, is certainly in Shanghai, and 340 million people being restricted from their own livelihoods? Is China working more or less with North Korea these days?
John, I think that China is working less with everybody these days, because it is preoccupied by domestic problems, some of which are becoming urgent. You know, as you point out, there's the COVID lockdowns in Shanghai, Beijing, and other cities along the east. I think the regime in Beijing right now has got its hands full with its own problems, and it's not focusing on other issues.
You have a question for David.
David, when Biden was in South Korea, there was a joint announcement that there would be increased large-scale military exercises between the South Koreans and the Americans. If you could comment on that.
Yeah, I think that's very important. I think we're going to see both the major exercises that take place twice a year, I think will expand. But more importantly, there will be a growing role for multi-echelon training, tactical, operational, and strategic training, to include deployment of strategic assets when necessary, but also all of the warfighting functions, from counterfire to missile defense. We're going to see these exercises and training take place year-round. They may not publicize it as much in the past, but they are going to return to a high state of readiness. And I think the positive of the election of the Yoon administration is that Yoon sees readiness as just as important as does the United States. And that's really positive moving forward for the alliance.
David, you mentioned COVID. We had some speculative numbers recently, up to 2 million people infected, fever in the large cities, lockdowns, or some version of it. You also point me to a striking photograph that BBC has produced of Kim Jong-un leading a funeral procession, the burial of a top military official, we're told, no name used. And all of the officials are wearing masks except for Kim Jong-un. And I see one soldier standing behind him who also doesn't have a mask, marching in an aggressive fashion. Is the COVID a threat to the leadership? Does Kim Jong-un in some fashion want to demonstrate that he's unafraid of COVID? How do you read this picture?
Yeah, it is difficult to read. We've seen reports that, in fact, no one supposedly has been vaccinated, although I think that I would guess that the elite has imported vaccines from some country and has probably vaccinated the elite. But the reports are that no one has been vaccinated. So I think that, You know, Kim is, you know, probably demands that everybody around him wears masks. And he, you know, has chosen not to, although we have seen him with pictures with masks on. But in this case, as you surmise, he probably wants to demonstrate his leadership, his lack of fear. But this really illustrates the problem that North Korea has with COVID. It's afraid of it, but it also is going to try to exploit it. As it has for the last 2 years, but also exploit it in public opinion that it's deadly, but they're also dealing with it. And I think that's an interesting fact of the COVID situation.
David Maxwell of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, Gordon Chang, Gatestone Newsweek in the Hill, at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.